morning. Scripture this morning is in James 4:13-14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on businesses and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen to you tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes.
Let church say amen. Amen. Very, very happy to have each and every one of you with us this morning. We have brethren here from other cities that are traveling, and we want you to know that you are our honored guests, and we want you to go home and kind of do us a favor. And that is, wherever you're from, you go home and tell those brethren that the people at the Clanton Church care very much about them as well. Amen, church? And I hope, brethren, and I'm talking to home folks now, I hope when you make your travel plans, you keep the Lord's church in mind, just as our visitors have this morning. Because it is so refreshing when brethren stop. I know the interstate's right here, but they stop and they worship with us, and it means the world to us. Now then, I don't really care where you're from. I hope you agree with me when I say that the simplicity of New Testament Christianity is appealing. What we're saying is that you can read the Bible and understand it in its simplicity. I came across a saying many, many, many years ago that goes back to the Restoration Movement of the 19th century that said the Bible only makes Christians only anytime, anywhere. And I'm aware of the fact that we live in an age of confusion in the religious world in which many want to complicate salvation and convince folks that you can't read your Bible and understand what to do to be saved. I'm afraid that we've got a generation of preachers that preach to impress, and that's not our purpose. If you obeyed what was just what you find in the Bible, what would you be? You'd just be a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. We don't need any more labels. You just be a Christian. And so that's why this morning and when you come back tonight, we're going to concentrate on five simple truths about time and eternity. And I don't have anything new for you. If you've been in the church very long, you heard much preaching. You've heard these before. If not from me, then from somebody else. So let me first of all remind everybody in this room, life is short. Are you listening? Life is short. Now there's several passages in the Bible that illustrate this, one of which was just read in your hearing by a very fine young man, in which James tells us that life is a vapor. You don't brag about what you're going to do. We're going to go in a certain city and we're going to spend a year there and we're going to buy and sell and get... James says, no. Because life is a vapor. And I'm told by the scholars that research this, that James was talking about something that took place every morning in the ancient Near East. And it was called a morning cloud. The moisture from the Mediterranean would kind of blow in, and it was just a heavy, heavy, heavy fog. You could just literally reach out and touch it. But it would hit that hot, dry, arid land, that air of the ancient Near East, and it was gone. I mean, it was there 1 minute. It was so solid you couldn't see through it, and it's gone. Now, that's the analogy that James uses, that life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But you know what? James is not the only one to talk about this. When you go back in the Old Testament, a very similar statement is made by the wise man, Proverbs 27 in verse 1, when he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Now this is in the forefront of my mind right now, because Tuesday I'm going to be closing on a house. And you've all been there, many of you have, where you kind of sign your name to that mortgage that's how long? 30 years, right, And we don't have any qualms about signing our name to a 30-year mortgage, promising to pay. They get you that, they used to give you the payment book, looked like a Sears Roebuck catalog. And we don't mind that. We'll buy a car and take 6-8 years. We don't mind that. And yet the Bible teaches you don't brag about tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. That's what the Bible teaches. And then there's three passages in the book of Job. That wise man, Job 7 and verse 1, he says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth?" Isn't that a good question? Isn't there an appointed time unto man upon the earth? And then a few verses later, he uses an analogy that I have to admit I had to look up. He says in Job 7 and verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Well, I wasn't quite sure what that meant, so I kind of researched it a little bit. And the author of this particular commentary used a term I could identify with, an old-fashioned loom. And you've seen them where they put the fabric in and work and work. And I was impressed immediately with the brevity of life. And I began to think, I got three boys. My baby boy and his daughter still gets tickled when I call him baby boy, because he's almost 40. That means I'll have three sons in their 40s, but he's still my baby boy, and I don't know how they got to be that old. I mean, it was just the other day they were first learning to walk and talk and ride bicycles, and we spent the majority of our life at the Little League baseball field watching, and now they're in their 40s. I don't know how that happened. And somebody said, "Oh, Gary, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. Wait till they're in their 50s. Wait till you're in your 70s. Wait till you're in your 80s. What are we saying? Our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You get old before you know it. Your hair turns gray or it turns loose. And for some of us, we're further down that road than others. And it was just the other day we were young." Well, guess what? Job speaks to that as well. In Job 14 and verse 1, he says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days." Just a few days and full of trouble. Well, we keep going through the Old Testament, and the psalmist contributes to this thought in Psalm 89 and verse 47. The psalmist says, "Remember how short my time is." Now, Bobby, when you was in Vietnam, they used that term, didn't they? Short timers. Well, the psalmist used it a long time before then. "Remember how short my time is." And then there's a passage that I've marked from the Psalms, Psalms 90, the 90th Psalm. Now, believe it or not, this particular Psalm was not written by David. This is a Psalm that is a prayer, if you will, of Moses. And listen to what Moses says in Psalm 90, beginning in verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Wait a minute, Moses. What are you saying? You may live to be 70. And if you take care of yourself, maybe 80. But we are soon cut off. And we fly away. And the very next verse says, "Now then, teach us to number our days." Now wait a minute, Moses, what are you saying? I told you, I went to law school because they promised me there'd be no math. Am I supposed to take, let's say, I'm 600 years old, times 365. Is that what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? Matt, teach us the number. We just multiply that out. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, since you only live 70, 80 years, you better make the best use of your time before the best of your time is used. You put all of your life into living because you're soon cut off. And then when you turn to the New Testament, there's a similar passage in Ephesians 5 in verse 16. When the Apostle Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Make the best use of your time because the days are evil. Now, I want to remind you of something that most everybody in this room already knows. And that is that the tragedy of youth is that it's wasted on the young. Now, that's profound. Let that soak in. The tragedy of youth is that it's wasted on the young, meaning they have so much energy and vigor and vitality. They can go and they can do and they don't get tired. I'd just like to see some of these clowns get tired just once. Wouldn't you, Matt? I'd just like to, because all of us guys, we brag about it. We've got the used to could. We got the used to goods. Well, they seem to like that bunny, you know, going wide open. I used to get tickled at Hoover years and years ago. We had 25 babies in 1 year. I think it was something in the water. We had visitors that didn't want to drink the water. Because we had 25 new babies in 1 year. And I used to get tickled at these brand new mamas who would say, well, I need to get her home. She needs a nap. Or I need to get him home, he needs a nap. I said, wait a minute, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? We know better than that. We're not fooling. You're not fooling nobody. You're taking that baby home to take a nap so you could take a nap. Because youth is wasted on the young. But you know what? I said all that to say this. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. And guys, listen to Mr. Gary. It's not going to be very long before you can't jump nearly as high or run nearly as fast. Am I right, Matt? Isn't that the way it works? You know why? Life is short. But now here's what I want you to take home with you. Because life is short, all of those things that you were going to do one day, but you never got them done. So make the best use of your time before the best of your time is used. The wise man again in Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 12 makes the statement that life is like a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? And then one other passage in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1 and verse 24. All flesh is as grass, and it withereth in the heat of the noonday sun. Folks, listen to me this morning, please, I beg you. Life is short. But you know what? If I had never read this book, I'd still know life is short. You don't have to read the Bible to know that life is short. All you got to do is read. I started to say read the newspaper, but all you got to do And you know that not all you got to do is listen to the news and listen to the ages of the victims of the homicides and the accidents and even the diseases. You can remember experiences in your own life when you became aware of how short life is. Now, for those of you that are visiting with us, I have bored these good folks here ad nauseum in reminding them that I worked for 4 years in the biggest funeral home in Nashville, Tennessee. That in 4 years, I was a part of over 1,000 funerals. And the ages ran the gamut. There was one weekend I came into work at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I didn't come off the clock until 8 o'clock Monday morning. And the calls started coming in. We had a 3-year-old that died of a heart, congenital heart problem that she was born with. We had a 4-year-old that was killed in an automobile accident. We had another 6-year-old killed in an automobile accident. A 16-year-old who committed suicide. And by the way, that's now the second leading cause of death among teenagers. 16-year-old. A 22-year-old that died of alcohol abuse. And a 25-year-old that died of a brain hemorrhage. And that was 6 calls in 1 weekend. And the oldest one was 25 years old. And over and over and over again, I can tell you from having worked in funeral service and 40 years in law enforcement, but more importantly, I could tell you from this book that life is short. Somebody says, well, now wait a minute, Gary. If you live to be 80, that's old. You really believe that? Ask somebody that's 80. Ask somebody that's 80. I've told you before about preaching in Limestone County, Alabama, and one of our members was 103 years old. Aunt Sarah Thomas. 103. And ask her, is 80 old? No, not when you're 103. 80's not old. I don't know of anybody that's really that age who would really agree with you. Because we all want to live longer. And that's one of the things we talk about in grief recovery. In the seminar we do in the fall is that when somebody passes, people mean well when they say, well, how old were they? Oh, well, they were 82. Oh, he'd lived a good long life. Well, not if you're 82. My granddaddy passed at that age, and people would say that. And I'd say, we'd like to have him till he's 83. And you say, but that's still not long. Because you read in the Old Testament about a fellow named Methuselah who lived to be 969 years. That's a long time. No, it's not. Not when you think about eternity. Not when it's compared to eternity. So why are you thinking about life this morning? I want you to think about the different ways that people die. Thomas Paine, author and atheist, lay dying. And he cried out, and I quote, "Oh Lord, stay with me. Help me for Jesus' sake, stay with me. Send even a little child to be with me, for it's hell to be alone. And if the devil ever had an agent, I am that one. I would give worlds if I had not written The Age of Reason." End quote. You see, he had written a book, The Age of Reason, trying to draw people away from Christianity, to turn them away from God and turn them to atheism and agnosticism and infidelity. And now he's dying and he's miserable in his loneliness. Man ought not to have to die like that. That's a sorry way to die. But now let me tell you the opposite. Let me tell you the way I want to go. It's like a missionary that I read about, a man who had devoted his life to telling the story of Jesus. And on his deathbed he said, and I quote, "I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ." End quote. Listen to that. "I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ." It's 3 o'clock and the bell rings. And a little fella is walking out of school. And you stop him and you say, "What's wrong?" And he says, "School's out." Is that the way they do it in Chilton County? No, not hardly is it, Bobby. It doesn't work that way, does it, Matt? That bell rings and look out! And that's what the missionary says. "I go with the joy of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ." I'm reminded of the words of Stonewall Jackson, inadvertently shot by one of his own men. And as he lay dying, he said, and I quote, "I'm just going to cross over the river and rest underneath the trees on the other side." I had the privilege of holding my maternal grandfather's hand as he took his last breath. And that memory is so indelibly impressed upon my mind, absolutely nothing can take it away. No stroke, no cancer, no nothing. As I came in to see him and I reached out and took his hand and I said, "Pop, I sure am glad I got to come see you." And his last words, "Sonny boy, preaching the gospel is a lot more important than coming to see me." That's the way to die. That's the way to die. Now let me ask you a question. How's it going to find you? None of us can know how it's going to be. But if it happened today, would you be able to say like that it was a time of joy, just like James counted all joy? Would you be able to say that, hey, today is the day of the greatest family reunion that I've ever known? To go on and be able to meet firsthand and thank those that preceded you in death. That's Hebrews 11 and that's Hebrews 12. Seeing that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. What witnesses? That bunch in Hebrews 11 that had died. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Is that the way it's going to find you? Or are you going to know what it's like to fall into the hands of an angry God? What kind of day would it be when you are called upon to meet God? Don't you ever forget. I don't care how old you are. Don't you ever forget. Life is short. But now while you're thinking about how short life is, I want you to think about how long eternity is. Life is short, eternity is long, and I want to head the list when I say that we preachers stumble all over ourselves trying to explain eternity. We use a phrase, in fact, I heard it this morning. Where will you spend eternity. Well, guess what? You can't. You can spend a dollar fast. You can spend money fast, but you can't spend eternity because there's no end to it. Where will you be throughout eternity? As if you reach some point after a while and then we go, no, that's not it. See, we're finite, we're limited, and we're trying to define and speak to something that's infinite and unlimited. So may I this morning, please, with your prayer, give you two old illustrations. And again, if you've been in church very long, you heard much preaching, you may have heard these illustrations. I cannot improve on them, and I just share them with you. Somebody wrote this a long time ago, that if this old world of ours said to weigh 6,570,000,000 tons, I don't know who put her on the scale, but that's what Mother Earth weighs. She's 25,000 miles in circumference. She's 8,000 miles in diameter. And the writer said, suppose this ball of earth was one great big steel ball. And you put an ant on the equator and started that ant around the equator. Now, I don't know who put a clock on this ant. But they tell me that this ant can move along at the blazing speed of 1/17 of 1 mile per hour. And if you put that ant on the equator of this steel ball, it would take that ant 50 years or better to make one lap around the earth. So imagine how long it would take once every 50 years. You know, we've all had animals and pets and things that leave paths in the yard. Well, imagine how long it would take that ant once every 50 years around that steel ball just to leave a trail. And then once every 50 years come around again where it left another trail. How long would it take that ant to cut a trail so deep that it would cut that steel ball in two? And the author said, let me tell you, if it could happen, we'd just be getting up in eternity. We'd just be rising in eternity. Another author said, if a bird traveling from the moon to the earth, take it 1,100 years, flying from the moon to the earth, and if that bird flew to the earth once every 1,100 years and got a beak full of water and took it back, how long do you think it would take to fill up a teacup? How long do you think it would take to empty a pond or a lake? How long do you think it would take to empty the mighty Mississippi or the Atlantic Ocean? And the writer said, if it could happen, they'd just be calling us to breakfast in eternity. Folks, don't ever forget, life is short, but eternity is long. And while you're thinking about the eternity, I want you to think about the different ways that people will exist in eternity. Here's a man who was so busy making a living, he had no time for God. And he never obeyed the gospel. And one day he died. And he found himself in torment, in agony. And he begins to cry out, oh God, please deliver me from this bubbling, boiling, burning lake of fire. Please let me out. And then he begins to reminisce. In life, I neglected God. In life, I put my business ahead of God. But I know that God is just. And I remember as a boy going into Sunday school and learning that God is love. Maybe after a year, He'll let me out, and a year passes and He's still there. His tongue is swollen, His lips are dry, His throat's parched. And again He asks, how long do I have to stay? Maybe I was worse than I thought. Maybe He'll let me out in 5 years. And 5 years slowly passes, and again, how long? Maybe 100 years, and 100 years is not enough. And His voice is only a faint whisper echoing in the streets of hell. How long? And the answer comes back, you're here forever. Because the Bible says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, a place where the worm dieth not. But on the other hand, here's a man who was raised in a godly home. He obeyed the gospel as a young boy. He grew up, married a Christian girl, raised children in nurture and admonition of the Lord, had a home that was characterized by Bible reading and prayer. And one day he dies. His body is carried by 12 good men to his grave. But his soul is carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Knowing that death is no respecter of persons, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And he finds himself in a place where there's no tears, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no death. He never has to say goodbye. Oh, just look at him. Basking in the glory of paradise. And we ask, how long can he stay? I mean, surely it's temporary. He wasn't that good. No, he wasn't. But he was faithful. And a verse of scripture comes to mind, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Life is short. Eternity is long. And the simple matter this morning is that you have a choice. I can't make it for you. Your parents can't make that choice for you. Only you. In light of the fact that life is short and eternity is long, only you can make that choice. And that's why we beg people to become Christians. We beg people to change the way they think. The word is repent. We beg people to go public and confess Jesus and be baptized in water. Well, maybe you've done that. You're hurting and you're struggling. You need the prayers of this church. We invite you to come. While we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us.